Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. We continue our journey with Joseph in chapter 39. And you know when we began a couple weeks ago and we read about Joseph falling into the pit, you know, I heard a few people say he deserved it, you know, for how petulant a child he was, spoiled, rotten, you know, the child that everyone loved. He was entitled. He deserved a little bit to be thrown down in that pit and to have that coat taken away. Today's different, my friends. Different message, Genesis 39. Joseph does everything right. He does everything right. In fact, as Lutherans, we don't like to put people up on a pedestal and emulate them. You know, we're like worried about, you know, emulating people above God, of course. But I want to say this is a beautiful picture, what we have from Joseph on how to live life. I want to talk about it here, and then we're going to get to how God plays a significant role in Genesis 39. Why is Joseph such a beautiful picture here for us? Well, he avoids three temptations. I struggle. I would have eaten the lollipop Joyce had this morning. There's a bowl of them in the kitchen. Someone needs to take that bowl out of the kitchen with Tootsie Pops. It's awful. In all seriousness, Joseph faces three temptations in Genesis 39. The first is this: he avoids the temptation of power. Potiphar's wife, she doesn't. She wants the power, and she wants to abuse power, doesn't she? You see, it says there in the text that Potiphar is the captain of the guards. In other parts of the scriptures, when that little phrase or title is used, what that is suggesting is this is the guy who's in charge of all the military, the navy, the army, the chariots, the whole shebang. That's Potiphar. And being married to Potiphar, she had a lot of clout and a lot of power in society. When she said something, that's what you did. And you see here in this text here, you see a nice gentle word in the Hebrew. It says, she says, come lie with me to Joseph. That's not what it says in the Hebrew. Hebrew only has two words here, and they're imperatives. She's forcefully abusing power. Do it, Joseph. Come with me. This woman is used to abusing power. Contrast that with Joseph. Joseph has a really good position here in Potiphar's household, doesn't he? Potiphar, the captain of the guard, Joseph's the guy running the household. In fact, all Potiphar has to do is think about the food that he's going to eat. Joseph's in a very privileged position. He can abuse the power, but you notice, how does Joseph use the power that he's given? He uses power to bless other people. He uses his power to bless Potiphar, the person that he's working for. Young children, I want you to hear this. We have a problem with power in our culture and climate. Too many people abusing power for their own selfish reasons. That is not the Bible. The Bible says, use your power for others, to promote others, to promote those that you work for. Joseph did not succumb to the temptation of power. Here's the second temptation, the temptation of lust. Wow. Did your glasses steam up when you read the description of Joseph this morning, ladies? It says here in this text that Joseph was a very handsome man and well-built. And Potiphar's wife, she notices that. And, you know, there's some details here that are really interesting. You know, it's not just a little enticement to have a dalliance on the side. You see, it says day by day she was coming to put these advancements upon Joseph. And you know what? You can rationalize, as we talked about in our Bible study, go ahead and Joseph could have rationalized getting involved here with Potiphar's wife. What are some of those rationalizations? You know what the saying was back then? What happens in Egypt stays in Egypt. No, that's Las Vegas. That's a joke. That didn't occur. But Joseph could have said something like this: hey, you know what? If I have this relationship, I have a poker chip down the road. Maybe I could use her to my advantage to get higher up in society. You know, Joseph is a young man. He's 18 years old. He could say something like this: I'm just a young man. Doesn't matter. No big deal. Joseph does not give in to the temptation of lust. He doesn't. Our text says he flees. When Potiphar's wife comes in and she kind of entices him, he heads in the opposite direction. When he gets the phone call, he heads off in the opposite. He doesn't answer the phone call. You get the picture here that's in Genesis 39. He doesn't give in. What a beautiful picture here of Joseph. But here's the head scratcher, really, of this text. All right, this is where we're headed here in the rest of this message. Joseph is a beautiful picture of how to avoid temptation, the temptation of lust, and to avoid the temptation of power and abusing it. But where does he end up in the end of chapter 39? Prison. He ends up in prison. He's done everything right, and he's in prison. And Potiphar's wife, she just continues doing what she's doing. She's not punished at all. It's like it's as if God is silent. Maybe you're there right now in your walk and your life. God may seem silent in your life. You know, maybe you've done everything right. You've dotted your I's and crossed your T's and done what was right in society and with your family. But then right across the road, there's that person that's done everything wrong, and they're prospering and doing great. Anybody ever been a part of that kind of situation? You pay your taxes, and your taxes are going up next year. The guy right next door, he cheats on his taxes, and he brags to you about how he's going to cheat this next year as well and get away with it all. You work for your employer, and you work extra time, and you love your employer, but you never get a promotion where you work. There's that coworker right next to you. They cheat, and they don't really fill out their timesheet all that well, but they get the promotion and everything goes. God remains silent. Isn't that tough when that happens? You're faithful to your family and love your family and you're just eking by. The person right across the street has ruined many lives and broken many relationships and they're prospering and doing great. Silence. Isn't that painful? Here's maybe the most beautiful thing that Joseph does not fall into temptation. Does Joseph despair? Does he fall into the temptation of despair in this situation going to prison? He doesn't. God seems to be silent. Joseph does not go into despair. He goes into prison quietly looking for what God might be sending him. That's an important part of our faith journey. Sometimes God is silent in our life. And sometimes we do everything right and things don't go well and there's that neighbor and they're prospering. God is silent. Why is that happening? I watched a movie this last week, a three-hour movie, and it took me four segments to watch the movie. I can't watch movies. I fall asleep. Alicia knows this. It drives her crazy. But I watched a movie. The movie's called Silence. Anybody seen Silence here in the congregation? You've seen it, Joan? It came out in 2016, and it's about silence and God's silence. It covers a couple Catholic priests who go to Japan in the 16th century. And these Jesuit priests bring Jesus to the people of Japan, and it goes really well, really great. But there's a young priest who finds out that the Japanese are killing all the Christians. And not just that, but they have made the priests that are there, this is a true story, they made the priests deny Jesus and become apostates. So this young Jesuit, he's idealist, he's thinking that he's going to change the world. He travels all the way to Japan and he thinks he's going to bring Jesus to everyone. And quickly he finds out more villagers are persecuted and killed because they're Christians. God remains silent. Why does this happen? Then he finds out one of the Jesuit priests that's a friend of his, he watches him drown in the movie. God remains silent. Then he finds out his mentor, Father Ferrero, who taught him the Christian faith, that Father Ferrero has given up the faith and stepped on the face of Jesus and denied him. And as this young priest looks on, he sees, why is God so silent? And finally in the movie, this priest, I'm waiting for the turn in the movie after about 3 hours. I'm like, finally, God's going to come in and there's going to be a miracle. Oh, it's going to be great and powerful and turn things around. Never happens. The priest dies and he's forced to deny Christianity and he dies in the movie. And the Japanese leaders put him in a Buddhist ceremony, won't allow him a Christian burial, and they burn his body so that his remains cannot be taken by Christians in Japan. This is a true story. At the end of the movie, I love it, good stories. I'm sorry to bring you down here this morning. I love good stories. It ends well. In the last 15 seconds of the movie, just 15 seconds out of 3 hours, the Japanese forced this Christian, this priest, to marry and practice Buddhism. And at the end of the movie, when he dies and he's placed into the casket and about ready to be burned, the Japanese wife, who had no idea what Christianity was, she got to see his body and she walked up to it, never said anything about Jesus, but she slipped a crucifix into his hand. And then he's burned. All those years, the priest felt that God was silent. That's the whole topic of the movie. But you see, what had happened was, as he was being persecuted, he shared Jesus with the wife that he had in Japan. God was silently at work. Friends, Joseph must have felt God was silent as he had done everything right and he was thrown into the pit, he's thrown into prison. But you know what? I think he saw that God was quietly at work. How? Here's a couple things. Hold on to this. This is deep Bible study information. The punishment for adultery in Egypt and also in the Middle East was not prison, my friends. It was actually death. It was the death penalty. Somehow that doesn't happen here. Potiphar either didn't really believe his wife, or he really thought his wife was kind of crazy, or it was just blind luck. Potiphar doesn't kill Joseph. As the law commanded, Joseph is thrown into prison. And when you go to prison, you lose all your connections. That's you can't connect with anyone, you can't network. Joseph goes to prison, and who does he connect with in prison? But the cupbearer and the baker of the king. God is not silent. God is at work in Genesis chapter 39. Friends, God may seem silent in your life, but he's not. He's quietly at work in your heart and in the lives of people around you. The story came out a few years ago on the East Coast of a news anchor. She was new. She was new in her role as a news anchor. She made a major flubbub on the news broadcast, and it was so bad that she needed to be fired. It was very clear, and she didn't have credibility, and she was so young that it was such an easy decision to fire this person. She was a low person on the totem pole. Something very quietly happened behind the scenes. A senior executive stepped forward and took the blame for the whole situation, even though it really wasn't their fault. And someone asked that senior executive later, "Why did you take the blame for this situation?" And the senior executive said, "Because I knew that her career would be over, and I had built up enough clout, and I had built up enough credibility that I could take the hit." That's a powerful story in today's society, because usually senior executives abuse those who are below them. Usually senior executives are taking advantage of those below them. But what if a senior executive did the exact opposite, quietly behind the scenes, took the blame for you or me? That's Christianity. That's what's God, that is what God has done for you. You and I are like that news anchor. We've made the flub up. We've made the mistake. And we should be fired and punished. But God sent his son, the senior executive, in his business. And he overcame all the temptations in the world and built up enough credibility that nothing could go on him or stick on him. And he took the blame. He took the punishment. And he died quietly on the cross at Calvary for you. What a beautiful picture. So Joseph must have had silence there. God was quietly at work. Also in our lives, sometimes we're going to come across times where God seems silent. He is at work. The greatest work for you was how he sent his son to die for you. And he's at work making connections in our life to bring us closer to him and closer to others. Go forward with that thought today. May the story of Joseph overcoming temptation not just be about us and how we can avoid temptation, although that's a part of this, but help it to see how Jesus overcame temptation for us and offered the way to eternal life. Amen. We're going to continue this morning with our sermon hymn led by Roy and Rick. We'll just take a few seconds to get arranged for that. Let us rise to sing this song, How Great is Our God.